Before we start today's show, guys, Dale and I are very excited to tell you guys about Draft, the Draft app, and PlayDraft.com. If you want to join us and play in some of our leagues, just it's really exciting, a very fun way. Tell them about it, Dale.
Yeah. Pretty much, if you go on the website or if you download Draft, use our promo code EatSleepFantasy, and you get a $3 free entry. So basically, signing up using our promo code, and you get in, you get to play for free, earn a couple of bucks while you do it. It's a really cool app. Last week, I went a little crazy. We drafted with a bunch of our listeners. I won, let's see, I won like 30 bucks last week. No, I didn't. I won like 25. So,
and you bet like six. So,
yeah, it's really fun. If you guys follow me, ESF Dale, I'll put you in like the rotation. And every time I do a draft, I'll invite you. And whoever, you know, the first six or the first five, how big ever the league is, you'll get invited. Whoever, you know, gets there first gets a spot. But it's really fun. I have a pretty long list of listeners now, so it's getting pretty competitive to see how quick people can join and play me. Like I said, I'll tell you my lineup, my best lineup here. Let's see results here. My best lineup was, let's see, I had Tyrod Taylor, David Johnson, Devonta Freeman, Antonio Brown, and Jordy Nelson. That was my best lineup. I was really proud of that, even though David Johnson went out. It's basically for those that don't know, it's a snake draft. It's like DFS. I said that. But you do a complete snake draft. Instead of everybody having Julio Jones that week, it's whoever picks them first, and it's the draft order is randomly selected. It's really fun. It's a totally different way to do it, and you get to play me, and get some bragging rights. I know. I think Mello beat me in one of the leagues, and he was bragging about it earlier today. Who else? Hold on. Let me give a shout out to everybody else that beat me. Let's see.
While you do that, honestly, the best part of fantasy football for me, and I'm not sure for you, is the draft. So
yeah.
What it's taking is the fun of daily fantasy sports and that, you know, 1 week kind of tournament player, whatever, and merging it with the drafting portion of fantasy football. And really, it's like the perfect storm application of fantasy and really making it fun, something that goes so well with your season-long league and something that you can just pair with it beautifully, honestly.
Yep.
It's really fun.
Yeah. So BPN88 beat me. Plane88, that's our buddy Pat from the Weekend Warrior podcast. PSizzle127 beat me. And MNX Spiders team. Man, you guys got to get better team names than this. Jeez.
Yeah, seriously.
It's horrible. Why are you putting so many numbers and letters at the end? Anyways, and then Mello beat me, of course, in the league as well. But it's really fun, man. Poppy Soros?
What I am going to put on our page to make it a little bit easier if you want to join us, if you don't want to follow at ESF Dale immediately through the draft app, if you want a little bit more guidance, I'm going to put on our pinned tweet where you can add your name if you want to be part of our draft, you know, list of listeners that want to compete with us this week. So if you just want to add your name there, it's our pinned tweet at EatSleepFF on Twitter.
Nice.
Yeah. Eat Sleep Fantasy, you rocking with the best NFL fantasy football podcast. We talking mock drafts, running backs, better follow the conversation with Dale, Christian, and Armando. Screaming Eat Nation, we doing what we like. Tune in every week, guaranteed we get it hype. Fantasy football enthusiasts, I know you plan to be joining us on Eat Sleep Fantasy. Yeah, Eat Sleep Fantasy. Eat, Sleep, Fantasy.
All right, welcome back
to another episode of the Eat, Sleep, Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Christian Brito. I'm recording here from Birmingham, Alabama, because I am still displaced, heading back home tomorrow to lovely Florida. Joining me as always tonight is Mr. Dale DeMott. What's up, Dale?
Yeah, man. Glad to finally be recording to all our listeners waiting for a podcast to be released. We have tried and tried and tried to get episodes out this week. I know it's important week one, but the good thing is we will be here for you for the rest of the season. Hurricane Irma, along with other crazy schedule stuff, just didn't work out for us this week, but we are here for you. We are going to give you some players.
Irma.
Huh?
Bitch-ass Irma. That's all. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Bitch-ass Irma. So we're going to give you some players to target this week and for the rest of the season, guys that we like, maybe the guys that we don't like, going down position through all the positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end for you. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at EatSleepFF. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also listen. We have been putting out some Anchor stuff. Our very talented writers gave us some awesome knowledge throughout these days that we didn't release a podcast, and they released it on Anchor. So go on that website or app and check us out there. We kind of release in between episodes. So if you want to hear more analysis, there's probably less shit talk on Anchor, but there's definitely is a lot of analysis there if you want to hear some stuff in between podcasts.
Lots of good insight, lots of just different opinions and ways to think, which is very useful in fantasy, because if you just listen to me, you might only think one way, or if you just listen to Dale, you might only think one way. But getting those multiple opinions and kind of finding a happy median, a happy middle ground for these players is very often the most useful approach.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I wanted, if you guys want a decal, I don't know if you were here for the whole fiasco with the decal stuff. It wasn't really a fiasco. I'm overselling this.
Well, the shit ton of emails that I got kind of was annoying. I don't know what you did, but I just kept my phone was like, boop, 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 I want a decal.
Yeah. People were asking for decals, and then I had to reply and say, what's your address? So anyways, if you guys want a decal, just put in the subject line decal, and you guys can have, we have tons of decals. I ordered a bunch extra. I don't think I told Christian that. I told Armando that. But if you guys want a decal, I have them for you. And we appreciate you if you kind of, represent and put it on your car, on your cooler, on whatever you want. So just email me, contact@eatsleepfantasy.com. In the subject line, just put decal and then give me your address and all that stuff and your name. And we'll send you a decal.
We definitely don't want your address for anything weird or for stalking purposes or anything like that.
Right. Although, and I almost did this because somebody emailed me and said, hey, I don't know. I asked him for an address and he goes, are you going to stalk me? I guess I trust you, not to come stalk me. And I had half a heart just to go on Google Maps and go to the satellite image and just zoom in on his house. but that would definitely, people wouldn't trust us for sure.
We should do that with everything.
Yeah.
Know what we should do? If someone sends us their address, we should just reply with a picture of their house. Or just tweet out pictures of people's houses.
Again, we appreciate, and also, I wanted to mention one more thing too. Last year, we had a chance to basically answer every single Twitter question, every single email and message. This year, we're not able to do that. We try.
We are a little bigger than I thought we would be.
We try to answer everybody's questions, but it's just, it's crazy right now. And sometimes it depends on the time of day I can get to you, or Christian or Armando can. But sometimes we just get flooded with dozens at once, and there's no way we can, return all the questions. So feel free to keep asking us questions, and we'll do everything we can. Just don't take it personal if we don't get it right back to you. Is that fair?
Well, yeah. What I can say is, if you want those Sunday morning questions right before kickoff, usually an hour before kickoff, we are answering on Periscope and on Sleeperbot. I did that this Sunday, where I was on Periscope for about 15 minutes, and then I hopped straight on over to Sleeperbot to answer all the questions on our channel. So if you need to get questions in the last minute, those are usually two great ways to do it. Or you can tweet us or email us all week. Tweet us at EatSleepFF or email us, contact@eatsleepfantasy.com.
Yep. All right. Let's get right into the meat and potatoes, Christian. There is another episode. I don't know if I'm going to release it right before or right after this podcast. But there's, I guess you can call it a loss episode. Christian and I recapped the games on Sunday, and the quality is and that's why we didn't put it out. But we're just going to go ahead and release it anyways, and if you guys want to listen, awesome. If not, we understand. No big deal. There is a little hissing in the background, but there are some good nuggets in there if you want to hear just some recap from last week, from week one.
Please, guys, just understand that I am doing my very best to record while on the road, not in my home, in someone else's home, right, in Alabama, without my equipment. So it's subpar quality in terms of the analysis anyways.
You there, Christian?
Yep, you didn't get any of that?
You said, as soon as you started talking about quality, it cut out.
Son of a bitch. Well, I was just saying, if you're, you know, just please, subpar quality, but that's because I'm on the road here in Alabama.
Right.
And I'm not in home. I don't have my equipment. I apologize for that. But you should already be used to subpar analysis. So
exactly.
Subpar quality shouldn't affect it too much.
Exactly. So anyways, we can get right into it, Christian. I have some questions for you. You might have some for me, but I think this is going to be a fun little talk here. We're going to just talk about some players to target. In particular, I don't want to call this a waiver wire episode. One, because it's a little late for waiver wires here on Wednesday. But also, just because these guys still might be available, or you could trade for them. And we just want to talk about, kind of give our viewpoints on some of these guys maybe you want to trade for or trade away. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Christian, I think the number one quarterback, I don't know why I suck at saying positions. I get them mixed up all the time. Anyways, quarterback.
Really?
I think the biggest surprise this week was Alex Smith. Is his aggressiveness, now he was unusually aggressive last week, is this something that you expect a trend to continue, or you're just kind of ignoring it and you're rolling like usual?
Do I expect him to be 368 yards and 4 touchdowns and complete 80% of his passes?
Exactly.
On the road? No, I don't expect that. But can he be a top 12 to 15 quarterback this year instead of being that guy that middles around 18 to 20 like he usually does? Yeah, sure. Why not? He's a streaming guy. Play him versus matchups. He's a guy you can add if you're hurting and out of your quarterback position. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
The reports all offseason were that he was going to be more aggressive this year, and it's kind of something you kind of laugh away and, you know, it's Alex Smith, haha, whatever, I'm not going to add him. But if he's on your waiver still and they haven't processed, you could spend, you know, 4 to 5% of your waiver and lock in a quarterback if you're hurting at the quarterback position, because he'll be fine. I think he will finish as a top 15 quarterback. The weapons are there, and he has every opportunity to do so with that offense. It's just there's going to be weeks where you're going to get 18 pass attempts and it's going to be frustrating, but just if you play the matchups, you should be okay.
Yep. One thing that I really liked, and the other quarterback that we'll just touch on really quick, Deshaun Watson, he was 12 for 23, 100 yards, one touchdown, an interception. Not too bad for just getting thrown into a game that they were already horribly losing. Looks good right now for DeAndre Hopkins. He got a ton of targets from Watson late in the game, along with a touchdown. Hopkins had 40 yards from Watson, 55 total. So it looks good for Hopkins to have Deshaun Watson in the game. I like Alex Smith a little bit better if you're looking for another quarterback, but Deshaun Watson has some potential here.
Yep. So Deshaun Watson is not a guy that I would pick up, but it is the guy that bodes well for Hopkins, like you mentioned.
Right. All right. Let's get right into running backs now. I think the top, at least my top waiver wire pick, and I think top guy to go after so far this season, is Tariq Cohen. I know he was playing against a pretty shitty passing defense, especially passing from the backfield. But Tariq Cohen, are you buying into this hype?
So I'm buying into the hype as in he's probably going to be their first or second best receiving option now. And if you're in a PPR league, absolutely buying into Cohen in a PPR league, because you're talking about they had already lost one receiving weapon, their top option probably in Cameron Meredith. And then now you lose Kevin White for Lord knows how long with a broken collarbone, and Jordan Howard can't seem to catch the ball. So who else is going to? It's going to be Kendall Wright, who's not proven anything in his career, and it's going to be Tariq Cohen, who came out and in the very first game, you know, was gangbusters. So I do like Tariq Cohen as probably one of the best pickup options here. Just keep in mind, and I know you and I disagree on this, Tariq Cohen is not a workhorse back. He is a pass-catching back. So he will be flex-worthy probably in PPR leagues, but I don't see him ever having that ceiling where he's going to get 15 touches as a runner, even if Jordan Howard goes out.
Yeah, I think that's where we disagree. I think he's the most valuable handcuff. He's going to be the guy if Jordan Howard goes out. But let's not really talk about that. I mean, that's so hypothetical, and let's hope Jordan Howard stays healthy. Tariq Cohen had 12 targets against Atlanta. I don't expect that every game. I do expect him to have explosiveness. I mean, Tariq Cohen had 66 rushing yards, and one of them was a 46-yard run. So I expect explosive plays like that from him, especially, you know, some screen play, you know, some screen passes to him and stuff like that. So, yeah, look for those big explosive plays from him. I don't know if you're going to get that every game, but play the matchups, and he's very flex-worthy. The next guy, and I guess this is in no particular order. These are just guys I want to talk about, Christian. Kerwin Williams, we know David Johnson's out for a few months. Is this a Kerwin Williams show now?
You know, yeah, Johnson's going to be out 2 to 3 months, right? So that's the majority of your fantasy season. And what I said in our – so we have a lot of discussion in our little private writer chat and all that. I was like, man, I'm not going to rush out to grab Kerwin Williams because I'm very sure that they're going to try to bring someone else in, and that guy might end up being, you know, the top back in the backfield. But they basically – went out and got what's-his-face from the practice squad from New England. I can't even remember his name.
Foster.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah,
Foster, right? And so immediately I'm like, yep, I take back. You know, I knew they were going to add someone, but I didn't think it was going to be so, you know, low-key.
Right.
And now I'm immediately, you know, rescinding what I said before. And I'm like, yeah, I'm all in on Kerwin Williams now. The offense is not a great offense anymore without David Johnson. But they rely so heavily on that running back position that whoever is the guy, even if he gets 60% of the carries, I'm in. And it's annoying that you are in, like, all of my leagues, but he's the guy that I'm adding on waivers here.
Okay.
Because a lot of the leagues that you play in are standard. He's the guy that I'm going after. And I'm, you know, in most of my leagues, I'll spend 15, 20% of my budget if I'm in a fab or whatever to try to get him.
All right. I don't know if –
You agree with me there? This is an opportunity over talent play.
Yeah, sure,
I think Tariq Cohen is a talent over opportunity play, but now the opportunity has presented itself with the Kevin White and Cameron Meredith injuries.
Yeah, no, I don't hate your opinion and analysis. I just think that David Johnson's so special that he made that backfield something, and I don't think it's a plug and play. And I know you know that. I'm not saying that. That's not what you're saying.
Right, absolutely.
But I don't know. I think he's going to be just eh, and, you know, maybe a top 15 play depending on matchups. If not, he's really going to be nothing.
Okay.
You're
definitely leading Cohen. One of the next guys we're going to talk about here, and I'm assuming, is Chris Carson. So before we get into Chris Carson, would you rather pick up this week or go after if they're still on your wire, whatever? Would you rather have Kerwin Williams or Chris Carson?
I'm going after Chris Carson, and I know it kind of sucks.
So let's talk about him.
All right, cool. So Chris Carson, first of all, let's just get rid of Eddie Lacy really quick. Eddie Lacy, I don't know who watched the game or who didn't, but if you didn't, I'll just let you know that Eddie Lacy just looked ridiculously slow. He had five carries for 3 yards. And one of his longest carry was 6 yards. So this shows you how bad it is. Chris Carson, he did have a 30-yard run. It finished with 39 yards and 6 carries. So that helped his carry, you know, his average. But I like Chris Carson. I think he showed explosiveness. I don't think there's anybody else. CJ Procise even carried the ball a couple times and, you know, wasn't very effective under 3 yards per carry. I think Chris Carson moving forward, and he had a lot of pre-draft sleeper hype, and I think it's warranted. I think he's explosive and he can do something here.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you here, Dale. Like, I do like him. Eddie Lacy looks bad. You don't think they give him another shot though?
I don't know. Maybe, but I mean, along with that, they're gonna split the carries with Carson, I think, again, and depending on what Rawls is doing. So it's a mess, and I'm not starting anybody, but I'll take a chance, a flyer on Chris Carson over anybody else in this backfield.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Let's talk about Buck Allen. He is not owned in very many leagues. After Danny Woodhead went down, it seems like Buck Allen is going to get the majority of the passing downs. What do you feel about Buck Allen? Do you have any feelings towards him at all?
Well, Buck Allen, the thing is that Baltimore, they still gave West plenty of work.
They did.
And this is kind of, I mentioned, this is what they do. Like, if Danny Woodhead goes down, they'll put in Javorius Allen. Javorius Allen goes down, they'll find someone else. It doesn't matter. They'll sign someone off the street. they'll bring in Ryan Matthews if they have to. Like, yeah, right. Like, it really doesn't matter. The Baltimore Ravens will find someone to split the running back work. And I'm surprised, you know, they didn't use three backs immediately, because that's what they do, and it's going to be frustrating. Yeah, there's going to be value for both, but you're never going to really feel comfortable starting West or Allen. Both of their upsides are capped by the system.
Yeah, for sure. West had 19 carries. Allen had 21. Both had West had 80 yards. Allen had 71. So, I mean, they're neck and neck. I don't know if they're going to split the time half and half, but I do know West is going to be owned in a lot more leagues. And if you're, you know, if he's available, you can get him for free. He's worth holding on to and checking out right now. According to Fantasy Pros, he's owned in less than 1% of leagues. So definitely worth stashing if you have the space.
Right.
You know who looked good this week? Marlon Mack. Frank Gore was a safety.
Hey, man, my wife just screamed. I look good.
Anyways.
You heard her? Hold on, babe. Okay, never mind. She doesn't want to come here. She doesn't agree anymore. I didn't look good.
So Frank Gore and Marlon Mack split the workload, 10 carries apiece. Mack wasn't as efficient, but he did get a touchdown. I think they're going to continue peppering in Frank Gore, of course, just because, hey, if he can get 4 yards a carry, why not? But I think Marlon Mack is the future of this offense. And by future, I mean by week 6 or 7, he's going to be handling the majority of the work. Do you agree or disagree?
I think this is what it's going to be all year.
Okay. Just a total split backfield.
Yep. Totally split backfield for the entire year.
Okay. Worth targeting at all?
If you're desperate. Okay. I don't think he's a guy that's going to win you your league.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I don't like Frank Gore, but they're still going to make sense Frank Gore plenty enough that you don't really want Marlon Mack.
Right. Did you mention, because I know you were going for it, that Chris Johnson was signed by the Cardinals?
No, I didn't mention it, and I was kind of an afterthought, but it was a presumed afterthought that was going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, this doesn't really change anything what we said earlier about Cronin Williams. This news, as we're recording, is kind of breaking now that he signed. So, I mean, he's worth keeping an eye on too, but Cronin Williams, if you're going to pick up an Arizona backfield running back, it's going to be Williams. Let's move right on to wide receivers. A couple guys I'm really, really...
Hold on. There's one running back that you've just glanced over here that I think is very important to talk about on my list.
Okay.
And that's Alvin Kamara.
Okay. Why do you like him?
Yeah, man. He led the Saints in carries, rushing yards, even though it was only 18. But I think the important number here is the snaps that he played. 31 snaps with Ingram... You know, Ingram was still there, but Peterson only had 9.
Yeah.
Like, that was a career low for Adrian Peterson, 9 snaps.
Yep.
So I think the Saints have made it pretty clear that it's the Kamara and Ingram show, and Peterson is third on that list.
Yep.
No interest?
No interest at all. This backfield, I mean, it was split pretty much three ways in thirds. Peterson had 6 carries, Kamara had 7, Ingram had 6. they all had about 2.5 to 3 yards per carry. None of them scored. It was a shitty game for New Orleans anyways, but I'm not touching this backfield. I mean, Kamara does have some value, I guess. Like you said, his snap count was high, but I'm good.
I think I'd rather have Kamara than Marlon Mack.
Fair enough. I could see that. There's opportunity.
Kamara probably has less immediate opportunity, but has a higher upside should things break his way.
Okay, fair enough. I wouldn't argue with that. I understand your thoughts on that. All right.
And then I think I do want to mention, if you're desperate and you need just like a quick add for this week, Chris Thompson and Shane Vereen are good options.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Let's go into the wide receivers. Like I mentioned, there's a couple guys I really like. I'm going to list my favorites, and you just tell me which one you want to talk about. Kupp, Galladay, and Paul Richardson.
I think we got to start with the rookies.
All right. So
let's start with Galladay. Galladay is my number one wide receiver ad.
Yeah. Man, it's really tough between...
I think we disagree here. Yeah.
It's close. The only reason I'm not... Look, I know Galladay can handle the workload. I know he got 2 touchdowns, but he only had 4 receptions and 7 targets on a day where Matthew Stafford went nuts and threw 4 touchdowns. I don't expect that every week. I do think Matt Stafford is capable of doing that again, but I wouldn't expect that high output from week to week. And Galladay, at the end of the day, he is a rookie trying to still learn the offense, trying to learn the NFL. I like Kupp a little bit better here, but... What do you see from Galladay besides, you know, the touchdowns being there for him with Anquan Boldin out?
Yep. He does. That's the thing. He slips into he's the perfect complement to me, to Golden Tate. And Arizona did something a little weird on Sunday because they had Patrick Peterson shadowing Marvin Jones instead of shadowing, you know, either Galladay or Tate. I know Tate's a slot receiver, but Peterson tends to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And so they had Peterson on Jones, so Jones still saw a shit ton of targets anyways, with Matthew Stafford throwing the ball all over the place, like you said. But I think Galladay has a legit option in an offense that's going to be ridiculously aggressive to emerge, have those similar touchdown numbers to Boldin, if not even a little bit more productive than that. 8-9 touchdowns, I think that's very realistic on this season. I do.
And let me clarify. I really like Galladay here. I just like Kupp a little bit better. That's all. Galladay is a great option. I have no problem listing Kupp, Galladay, Kupp, whatever way you want to put it. I just prefer Kupp. That's all.
Now, the reason why I'd rather have Galladay is I just think Detroit's offense is going to pass the ball nearly 700 times this year. They can't run the ball. They're going to pass the ball. 600 is the old, like, extreme number.
Right.
They're going to go over 650 this year. I think they will be closer to 700 than 600 pass attempts. And so the person that is probably going to be the biggest beneficiary of that, I previously thought would be Eric Ebron. But week one made it very clear to me that it's going to be Kenny Galladay.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
So whatever I argued for in terms of Ebron before the season, just give it to Kenny Galladay.
Just control F and replace Ebron with Galladay.
Yeah, just search for all references to Ebron and just change it, replace it to Galladay.
Fair enough. So the reason why I like Cooper Kupp, and I don't think Goff is going to do this every week, and actually he has never passed for 300 yards except for week one of this season. He passed for 306 yards with 1 touchdown, but that 1 touchdown went to Kupp along with 76 yards and 4 receptions on 6 targets. He tied with the most targets on the team with 6. He tied with Gurley, and Watkins had 5. Kupp is the wide receiver 1 on this team, and I would not be surprised if he had a 1,000-yard season.
I don't believe he's the one. I still think it's Watkins. Watkins having 5 targets is fine. I still think Watkins ends up with a better year than Kupp. I think we're just seeing, you know, the beneficiary of they played the Colts. They beat down on the Colts, and that's what happened in week one. I'm not that big of a fan of Kupp, to be honest.
Okay.
That offense is going to leave the hell out of him.
Yeah. Okay.
Not his talent. I'm not saying I'm not a fan of his talent. I think he's a pretty good wide receiver who will make it in this league. That offense is frustrating, man. I try to stay away from players in bad offenses, and that offense is going to be frustrating this year. I know they improved their offensive line. I know they want to say that they're steps forward with Goff, and it looked good in week one. But, man, let's see what happens week two, because I'm not a believer right now.
Yeah, fair enough. It's hard to bet for the Rams, especially the Rams passing game. It's hard to bet for them. So the other guy I really want to talk about, and I don't know why, I don't know where this love came from. I think you're to blame a little bit. Paul Richardson, he was a leader in targets last week. Week one was 7 targets. He caught 4 of those for 59 yards. Out targeted Doug Baldwin on a day that Russell Wilson flat out just looked horrible. 14 for 27 for only 158 yards. This is a little matchup base. I'm not expecting Richardson to out target Baldwin every game, but to know that Wilson saying, "Hey, I know you're here and I'm going to feed you when you're open," that's a good sign. Basically, it was Baldwin, Richardson, and Graham getting all the targets here.
If the Seattle Seahawks, however, can't get their offensive line or their run game situated at all this season, it might be a lot of what we saw last season, and that's going to be tough to own.
Yeah, yeah. Don't forget, last season, Paul Richardson ended the season 4 weeks in a row, averaging 8 points per game. I think 2 or 3 touchdowns. Don't quote me on that. I think it's 2 touchdowns in the last 4 games. So him and Wilson have something going on. This might continue this season, and he could be a nice little surprise for somebody.
Yeah.
Sitting deep on your bench, I'm 100%. I definitely have shares of Paul Richardson.
See what I did there? Because you said Richardson and Wilson had something going on.
I like it. Yeah, I got it.
Sierra should be worried. Because that's also Wilson's wife.
Yeah, I get it. Alan Hearns. Yeah. Alan Hearns, you think is a beneficiary. Yeah, I got it. Alan Hearns is a beneficiary of Allen Robinson going down. I like Marquise Lee. Is there much to say about this? I mean, neither one of them are going to be A-Rob. I don't think neither one of them are going to get 150 targets this year. But who's a guy to own here? Lee Hearns.
I want to say Lee. I mean, I want to say, fuck, that was a Freudian slip right there. Damn it. I want to say Hearns, but everyone else I'm hearing is clamoring pretty loudly for Marquise Lee. But, I still believe 2 years ago, the A-Rob and Alan Hearns was the best two options on that team. I know a lot of people want to lean Lee because he had his little moments last year. I guess I'll think with my brain. It's probably Lee.
Yeah. Yeah,
My heart says Hearns, but my brain says Lee is probably the best option going forward for Jacksonville.
I mean, last game was a weird one to base this off of, to base your decision off of. Jacksonville got off to a lead and kept it. Fournette had 26 carries. The leading targeted person on the team was Hearns with only 4 targets. So it's nothing to base all your information off of. I'm just kind of basing it off of what I saw last year. Hearns didn't really show me anything. I know he was injured too, but I like Lee. Your boy Kevin White, he's gone. Dude, it sucks for that guy. is it even?
I have A-Rob and Kevin White on several teams. Not a good week one, man.
No,
it's really bad week one for me.
Well, the good news is it was pretty bad for everybody. So, but
yes, Dale. Yes, but I just want to say this in my league of record, I had Kareem Hunt and lost.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's not good, man. 40 points from Kareem Hunt, and follow that up with everyone else in single digits.
Yep. So is it even worth right now talking about Kendall Wright? I mean, we kind of already talked about the passing game a little bit with the Bears going through, you know, Tariq Cohen really benefiting, but is Kendall Wright anybody to talk about?
Yep.
Okay.
I think he is. I think he's a wide receiver 3 at the end of the year.
Okay. I guess that's not too bold. At
the end of the year, Kendall Wright will be a top 36 wide receiver by default.
Yeah.
Armando called it all along because he knew everybody was going to get hurt.
I do want to mention Deontay Thompson. I'm pretty sure we made an eat bet on this, but Deontay Thompson did have a catch for 15 yards. I think he could be something. Definitely not rosterable for sure. I'm not advocating for that, but it's like he could be something. Anyways.
Oh yeah. What if you're a 16 team PPR league with
25 bench spots? Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Are there any more wide receivers really to talk about here? I mean Nelson Aguilar.
Not really. But there is a guy that's interestingly still in a lot of leagues available. Danny Amendola, still available in more than half of leagues, guys. Look out there if he is available on your, you know, on your free agency or on your wire. You know, put in at least 5% of your budget if you have to put in, and I think he's a very worthwhile add.
Yep. A couple tight ends I want to talk about, Christian. Jesse James, Austin Hooper, I do like. I know two big giant plays really padded his stats because that's all he had. But Jesse James, man, I like him. I like him a lot.
So Cameron Braid is still out there in most leagues. He didn't play in week one. He actually got dropped in a bunch of leagues that I saw, which was interesting. So you're out here. Would you rather have Jesse James or Cameron Braid?
I think I'd rather have Jesse James, honestly. I mean, he got both of the touchdowns, eight targets for 6 receptions. He's going to continue being the big target in the end zone that Ben Roethlisberger needs. I mean, 6'7".
Okay.
And he just has a huge wingspan. I mean, I truly, truly believe he's going to be a top 12 tight end. Top 8.
I don't hate you for it. I am not as in love as you, but I think he's going to be solid this year.
Okay.
He will have plenty of games where he disappears. Whenever Martavis Bryant comes in and then he finally emerges, which will probably be next week, I think Jesse James might disappear a little bit. But here's where we might have a little bit of discussion here. Would you rather have Cameron Brate rest of the season or Austin Hooper?
I think I'd rather have Brate.
I thought I had me an EPET there.
No, I mean, look, Austin Hooper, I think he's – I mean, I've talked about him in the offseason too. I think he's a receiver type tight end that Matt Ryan likes. It's just – it's good. The passing is going to go through Julio Jones.
Hey, he wasn't taken high in the draft for nothing, man. Just remember, it's only his second year playing tight end. Maybe by next year we're talking about him as a top 12 guy because he breaks out this year.
Yeah, so, I mean –
Austin Hooper, yeah. Another guy, if you're struggling at tight end, I would pick one of these three guys up. I'm not yet interested in guys like George Kittle or Evan Ingram. One guy that I do think we just have to mention quickly at tight end, though, Dale, Charles Clay. He seems like he might actually be the best receiving option for Tyrod Taylor of what's left. Are you interested at all in Charles Clay?
No, I think he's a strong DFS play on good matchups. But Charles Clay, he had 9 targets. He led the team with 9 targets on 4 receptions, 53 yards and a touchdown. Give Jordan Matthews some time. I know he Jordan Matthews had a long reception, 47-yard reception. That really helped his stats. But I think give Matthews a couple weeks, and he's going to be a solid wide receiver, pass catcher for that team.
Okay.
I think Zay Jones will emerge as well. I'm sorry?
I'd rather have Clay for the rest of the season than I would Austin Hooper, just for this year.
Yeah.
That doesn't apply to dynasty leagues or anything like that. But I think Clay is going to be serviceable and give you some good weeks. Unfortunately, this is not one of those good weeks because he does play Carolina this week. Kind of a rough matchup for tight ends. maybe a guy that might be on your waiver again next week. So Charles Clay would be a guy that maybe just keep an eye out on that and target him next week's waiver wire.
Yeah, people hate on the Bills because of Tyrod Taylor. For some reason, they don't think that these receivers can do much. I think they're overlooked a lot of times. But Tyrod Taylor is pretty good.
I think it's just the Bills thing.
Yeah, probably. All right, I think that's pretty much everybody that we were talking about. I do kind of want to go through just a couple of things, just because.
So, last question: if people still have their waivers open, who is your number one pick?
Tariq Cohen.
Is it Cohen?
Yeah, it is. You?
Asking for a friend. Who's your number two?
My number two, of course, Cup or Galladay Cup, and then Buck Allen.
So you would have Buck Allen over Kerwin Williams and Chris Carson?
I would. I think so. The Chris Carson, Buck Allen, they're close. I just hope that Allen could be the pass-catching guy, which gives you a huge advantage in that offense, where Joe Flacco passed to his running backs more than anybody else in the NFL.
My top two pickups would be Kerwin Williams and Kenny Galladay, in whatever order of need you needed.
Okay, fair enough. So we can kind of all agree the top five or six. And, you know, it really depends on your, you know, if you're stacked at running back, don't feel like you have to get Cohen just because he's a top waiver wire pick. You know, I mean, go for what you need. If it's Cup or Galladay, then that's fine. You don't have to get Cohen with that number one pick.
Just remember, love is all you need.
Yep. Really quick, who do you think is a leading target monster of week one? Who do you think led the league in targets this week?
Led the league in targets. Wasn't it Hopkins?
Yeah, Hopkins was 16, which is...
Yeah, and didn't 10 of them come in the second half?
They did.
Once Watson
came in.
Yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
We said this on the last episode.
Okay. Also, I want to mention Amari Cooper. You know what? Actually, I'm interested in, and I'm going to do a little bit of research really quick here. Sorry.
Yeah, live on the pod. Great.
Yeah. Amari Cooper out-targeted Michael Crabtree. 13.
Not interested in Benny Fowler, right?
No. 13-7. Yeah. Amari Cooper out-targeted Michael Crabtree, 13-7. I'm believing this is the year that Cooper really distances himself.
Separates himself.
Yeah. I think so. The targets here, I think it's going to continue being about that way. Keenan Allen, it was fun watching him get 10 targets. Corey Davis had 10 targets, which we talked about on the last pod, that the targets in Tennessee were so spread out that, you know, he can go anywhere from 5 to 10 to 12 targets a game. It's just going to fluctuate depending on matchups. I think that's about it. That's all the guys I really wanted to talk about here. Do you believe in Tyreek Hill, by the way?
As what? A top, 24 guy?
Is he a top 12?
No, not for me.
Okay.
There's going to be too many games where he fades away just based on what Kansas City does, where they'll run the ball with Hunt or, you know, switch it over to to the tight end or to just other guys, or just it not be the game plan. I think that was their game plan to come out aggressive against New England because they had to, but I don't think that's going to be their game plan every week.
Right. All right, here. Let's in the episode, we got a couple of minutes here. I want to do a little bit of trade talk because people are already starting to trade. I got two trades for you here that were – one of them is mine and one of them is Armando's actually, so I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I want to know what you think about this trade. I have Doug Martin and Jeremy Maclin. I'll be giving that up for Tyreek Hill and LeGarrette Blount. I already have a full roster. Hyde and Montgomery and Miller are my running backs. Cooper, Galladay, and Hopkins are my wide receivers. So I'm pretty set. I do like Tyreek Hill a lot, basically trading for Doug Martin and Jeremy Maclin. I won't start Maclin anyways, probably with Cooper, Galladay, and Hopkins. So I'm kind of giving that in for free. What do you think? I'm leaning no.
I'd rather have the Hillside. I think you have the potential of having, you know, three top 15 wide receivers, and that'll make your team look really solid. And Doug Martin, I mean, you're still going to miss some games down there, and you know, you're kind of hoping you get great Doug Martin, but, you know, I think you're getting the value of, you know, of a good Doug Martin season without even having to see it.
Right.
And so I do think you win that trade.
Okay. I mean, LeGarrette Blount is kind of a throw-in, but I still think he can, you know, when you need him on a bye week, if the bye weeks match up with a good matchup for him, he could still get that touchdown or two on the goal line. So I was leaning no, to be honest with you, but I really like Tyreek Hill. So
I think Tyreek Hill is – here's the thing. Who's the best player in that trade?
It's Tyreek Hill, right?
It's Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
So – and I think it would be Tyreek Hill even if Martin wasn't serving a suspension. But he's still got three games to miss.
Yep.
He won't get him to week five.
Exactly.
So I think it's pretty clearly in the favor of the Tyreek Hill side.
Okay. All right. The other trade, this is Armando's trade.
Top 15, 16 wide receiver for the rest of the season. I don't think he's top 12, but he's going to be pretty close. Solid wide receiver too.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs are clearly running that offense through Hill. It was clear in week one. Like you said, maybe Alex Smith was just a little more aggressive. But, hey, if it worked for him in week one, like, just keep doing it, right? All right, this next trade, we will end.
I did want to say that offense is going to sustain a number two wide receiver this year, a number one tight end, and for me, a top five running back for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I know we might disagree. I think you might think that's a little high, but let's say worst case scenario, a top 12 running back. I don't think you can disagree with me there.
No, definitely not.
So it is going to bode well for Smith in terms of just being decent and better than he has been in the past.
Yeah, I agree. All right, the next trade here, let's see. Armando is giving up Keenan Allen and Ty Montgomery. This is crazy. And he is receiving A.J. Green, Lamar Miller, and Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, it's the A.J. Green, Lamar Miller, Jamison Crowder side.
Yeah.
He just basically got Jamison Crowder for free.
Yeah, exactly. And Lamar Miller, I do like Ty Montgomery probably a little bit better than Lamar Miller, but let's not try to overreact week one. And A.J. Green is obvious edge over Keenan Allen. So I would agree with you and say, yeah, that's a good trade.
The baby does not agree. The baby in the background. Sorry, guys.
Jeez.
Just remember, man, I'm doing this for you. I'm sorry.
Again, don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Anchor now. Send me an email if you want a decal. I actually have been handwriting every single envelope to everybody. So when you get it and it's bad handwriting, that's me. Again, contact@eatsleepfantasy.com. Also, just really quick and then I'll end it.
Also, hold on. If what? You get a decal, I expect a review on iTunes. That's your payment.
it does cost us, well, how much is a stamp now? Like 34 cents or something?
Yeah, so I think it's like 40 cents. How old are you?
Is it really 40 cents now?
It is a stamp.
That is crazy. 40 cents. You're way better off. Well, I guess you can't always. That's why people don't write letters anymore.
It's 40. It's 46 cents.
Holy crap. I remember when stamps were 27 cents. That's crazy.
Dale, do you also remember buying a Coke at the corner gas station for a nickel?
Really quick, before we get off, we do have a little link on our homepage, eatsleepfantasy.com, for Amazon. So if you're going to get anything from Amazon, just click that link and go through it and buy whatever. You know, we obviously can't get any of your information from it, but we do get notified when people buy it through that link. And if you do, screenshot the order and send it to us, and we'll pick maybe like one person every couple of weeks out of, you know, the pool to send a free t-shirt. So that's pretty fun. So if you're going to get something from Amazon anyways, why not? And I think...
Dale,
what's up?
I think you might be old enough that your birth certificate is expired.
All right.
Dale.
What?
Are you old enough to remember when Burger King was still a prince?
Oh, that's good. You know, I was just talking about that, though. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It wasn't when I was in high school. But Burger King had a smoking section back when I was in high school. That's kind of weird to think about.
How old are you? Do you remember the good old days of Reagan?
I'm not that old.
You got a picture of Moses in your yearbook?
For
security number one.
For Christian Brito, I'm Dale. Thanks for listening. And hopefully we'll talk to you tomorrow if there's another hurricane.
Dale took his driver's test on a dinosaur.
Later.
Jurassic Park brought back memories.
Yeah. Eat, sleep, fantasy. You rocking with the best. NFL fantasy football podcast. We talking mock drafts. Running backs better follow. The conversation with Dale, Christian, and Armando. Screaming Eat Nation. We doing what we like. Tune in every week. Guaranteed we get it hype. Fantasy football enthusiasts. I know you plan to be joining us on Eat Sleep Fantasy. Yeah. Eat Sleep Fantasy. Eat Sleep Fantasy.